Alrighty. I'm a little ringy. I'm not going to say I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to go King James only on you. So, King Jimmy had some stuff going on in here that I just want to point out. So, Father, I bless this word, Father, and I just ask for the truth to be revealed in all things. And I just lift this up to you, Father, for each and every one of us, Father, just to hear your word, to hear what you're saying. And, Father, just to fill in any missing pieces, Father, to shore up the foundation. Father, whatever it is that we need, Father, I just pray that this word would encourage each and every one of us, Father, and that we just, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come and breathe upon the word, breathe upon your word, and just bring it to life for each and every one of us to hear, to see, and to know. In Jesus' name, amen. I've talked on and off about this for a while, but I just want to talk about faith tonight and just kind of cover some different parts of faith. And you know, because whenever we, like what Virginia said, whenever we're talking about the courts and stuff like that, we're talking about going by faith, okay? So what I want to first do is I just want to, let's just go through a definition of what faith is. First of all, I want to point out that faith, the word faith, originated in about the 12 or 1250 A.D., is an old English word, okay? That it came from Middle English to Old French, and then ultimately from Latin, which means to trust, basically to trust or faithful. That's where we get the word faithful from also. But ultimately it means to trust. So it's an old English word. And so here's some of the definitions. Confidence or trust in a person, place, or thing. Belief that is not based on proof. Belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of religion. Belief in anything as a code of ethics, standards of merit. A system of religious belief. The obligation of loyalty or fidelity to a person, promise, or engagement. The observance of this obligation, fidelity to one's promise, oath, or allegiance. And I'm going to go ahead and point this out with the I'll sit down so I'm not walking around like a madman. If you look in the Hebrew Bible, the word faith is not in it. Even though that scripture is quoted, the just shall live by faith, the word in Hebrew in, I think it's Habakkuk, where it was quoted, you know, that we shall not shrink back, but we shall be those that live by faith. In the Hebrew, it's the word emunah, which comes from the word aman, which basically is where we get our word amen from. But in the Hebrew, it's the word aman. And that ultimately is the word that, if you want to say as a Greek, the Greek word for aman would be faith, if you want to look at it that way. But just to recognize that the Jewish, that, you know, we've been grafted into the Jewish roots of our salvation, who and what we've been grafted into, it really helps to take the time to go back and to look at it from a Hebrew perspective and to really understand. You'll just begin to see more clearly some stuff if you take the time to go study some Hebrew and take a look at it. So really, to define faith, and I'm not going to get off on the Hebrew tonight. I'm going to stay focused on mainly just looking at a lot of scriptures in the New Testament, and then just bringing some stuff to the surface. And hopefully, even now as I'm defining the word faith, all right, you've got to realize that we live in a society that they throw that word around. Even in the secular world, they throw that word around. When they talk about Christian, they talk about Christian faith, they talk about Jewish faith, they talk about Islamic faith, okay? So we need to understand Am I living in a faith that is out of relationship with God, or am I living in a faith that is nothing but a religious system? Okay? Because, so the first, one of the first things to realize with faith is that the faith that I'm talking about is ultimately and only going to come out of relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Godhead. Okay? And then throughout tonight, I want you to begin to realize that faith is simply your trust or confidence in the Lord. Okay? Begin to add those two words to when you say faith, say trust and confidence, so that you'll begin to understand what you're talking about. That it's not some kind of set of rules, that it's not some kind of programmed, da 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 da, okay, I've got faith, I'm doing faith now. You know? And realizing is it relationship, or is it a system or a method or just some rote thing, and that's what you've been taught about what faith is. Okay? So in Romans 12, I won't bring that one up. Romans 12, verse 3, it says that when we got saved, we received a measure of faith. Okay? So I just want to point some observations out of as I was thinking and pondering about this. And I'll go ahead and read it real quick. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say to you, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay? So, each one of us was given a measure of faith when we first got saved. Now, if you go back and think about your conversion experience, that faith, that trust, that confidence could simply be for, I got saved today. There could be no belief beyond anything other than that, that you're not going to hell, that Jesus died for your sins, and you know you're going to heaven. And that could be the measure, that could be the measure of faith that you received that day. But then you take someone that, like, I know the story of a guy that I got to meet. He was about to die from cancer. He had fallen. He knew the Lord when he was younger. So, but in this moment, when God healed him, from that point forward, he didn't bat an eye about praying for people being healed, because he got healed. God healed him of the cancer, and when he got off the bed, he now had the trust, the confidence, and the faith to know that God heals and I can do it. And he began to release that. Okay? So if you go back and you think about your conversion experience with Christ, you received a measure of trust about something concerning God. Beyond, you know, whether it was just simply the blood of Jesus, that your sins have been forgiven, or whatever it might be. But we all received a measure of faith, okay? So the next thing to point out is to realize that where does that faith come from? Where does that trust or that confidence come from? So if you received a measure of faith when you first got saved, you and I need to realize that faith comes from God. And these are the scriptures that I want to point out to you, because the King James is basically the only one that you can really see it in. Because every other translation took the word of and replaced it with the word in. Faith in instead of faith of. And those are two totally different realities or concepts or thoughts, however you want to look at it. But to have the faith in and to have the faith of is two different things. Okay? So one of the first ones is Romans 3:3. It says, for what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God of the faith of God without effect. Okay, so that scripture right there says that God has faith. Now go ahead and add the words, God has trust and God has confidence. God is confident in himself. Right? He's not double-minded when he speaks. We know all those Bible verses, you know. His word shall not return to him void. It's like the rain that comes and falls on the earth to water the earth and to bring forth the fruit. You know, his word will not return void. So ultimately, it's going to come down to his word the more that we look at this. So where's my list? So I can go ahead and we'll just roll through these real quick. And go ahead and look in your Bible right now as we're looking through this, whatever translation you're using. I guarantee you most of these that I'm going to give to you, it'll say faith in instead of faith of. So even, this is Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all, them that believe, for there is no difference. Okay? So the righteousness of God is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's go to Galatians now. Galatians 2:16. Oh, before I read this one, I want you to begin to realize too that there's a difference between believing and faith. Okay? Faith and belief are not the same thing. Okay? Faith and belief are not the same thing. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Okay, so that's a great scripture right there, and I guarantee you in most of your modern day translations, it'll say faith in. Okay, so that puts that faith in statement, put something on you to do instead of just simply believing and receiving the faith that's already, you've already received a measure of faith, but then even more so, getting out of that place of striving in the flesh, staying in the place of grace so that you can receive the faith or the measure that God wants to release to you. Okay? So I'll go ahead and throw this scripture out there. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing is all about his word. So it's about him speaking. Right? So I'm going to go ahead and say this, because this got me in trouble last time. When you read this book, there is a measure of faith that will be released from reading the book. A measure. Okay? So I just want to encourage you that there is, here's the thing, if we go back up to the definition of faith, so I want to challenge you to begin to just go through your life in the different areas of your life, and where go ahead and call it what it is. If you don't trust and you're not confident in an area, then you don't have faith in that area. Okay? And then why am I not trusting? You know, what is going on in this area of my life that I'm not trusting the Father, Jesus, the Godhead, however you want to look at the Trinity, or whoever it is that you interact with the most in the Trinity? And begin to ask the question, you know, just be real with where you're at and acknowledge, like, yeah, I'm afraid with this area of my life. I know I don't trust him. And I don't know why. And all you can do is begin to ask him to reveal the truth of what's going on with that. If you want to know the truth. If you want to know the truth, I promise you he will tell you the truth. But you got to want to know the truth. If you don't want to know the truth, then he's not going to really tell you. I mean, he won't tell you. Because you don't want to know. And that's how this works. So the next one, and this is, see, this is that scripture that we, when we first got saved, you know, and we're learning our Bible verses and we're walking around quoting all of our Bible verses that we're learning. This is one of the key ones that we learned. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So just begin to realize that you're in him and he's in you, and you're beginning to... I really don't even know how to put all of that in the language yet. But it's to say that you and I have to learn how to draw upon his relationship with the Father. To draw upon his relationship, to draw on who he is in you. The trust and the confidence that he walked in. Okay? The trust and the confidence, because he knew the Father. Like it says in the love chapter, at the end of the love chapter, to finally see face to face, to no longer see through a glass dimly. Hey, will somebody turn that fan off? It was okay with the music going, but now it's like clank, 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 clank. Oh, tired box fan. Ah. Yeah. So there's Galatians 2:20. Oh. Galatians 3:22. The next one is Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Okay? And I think this is the one I want to read a couple of extra. Oh, I'll just go ahead and add the next verse. Because this is something to point out. Okay, so, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Okay, there's a distinctive scripture right there making a contrast between the faith of Christ and your simple belief. Okay? You entered in by believing, and then you received. First you believed, and then you received. We just haven't realized what all we've received. A lot of what we've been taught is, okay, let me finish reading this verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So whose faith is that talking about? Is it talking about your faith, or is it talking about Jesus' faith? We were waiting for his faith to show up. And until then, we were kept under the law. But once his faith showed up, once his trust, once his confidence, once his relationship with the Father was manifested, just go ahead and start adding all those words. Faith, trust, confidence, relationship. That's what faith is. And we've received his faith. So Virginia and I were talking, and most of you know that just the hard season that we've been through, and And she was asking, you know, we were just talking about this. And just for all of you that are struggling or having to overcome disappointment or hopelessness and hope deferred and all of those things, you know, and it's like, well, I don't have faith right now. I couldn't even believe for, I don't even know what I could believe for right now. And as I was just kind of waiting on the Lord, I just, the scripture that came to mind was there in 1 Corinthians 13. And it's at the end of the love chapter. It says, love never fails, but whether, it's verse 8, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And then verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. So what I felt like the Lord was just showing me with that verse is because one of the biggest woundings that we can endure with the Lord is when a prophetic word doesn't seem to come to pass. And we keep getting these same prophetic words about the same thing, and they seem to keep falling to the ground. And then it's like, all right, well, if you can't, you know, if none of these prophetic words are working, then what, I mean, that's a pretty... That's the wounding of all woundings, I would say, is when we continue to get these prophetic words that it's like there's no fruit, there's no evidence, there's nothing. You know, the contrary keeps happening. And the only thing that really came to me is just I know for me, it's a deeper depth that God is bringing me through. It's a deeper depth, and it's a dying to self. And so when we go through something like that, we really have to ask ourselves, what is God after? Because he's after something. And it's way more than that promise that he's promised you. It's way more important, or it's way bigger than just that promise that we keep looking for. But he's after something. So then we've just got to be mature enough and just to begin to know that it's... So what I really concluded... just with that scripture that he gave me is ultimately for that perfect love to be established in you and I. Because that's the love that Jesus walked in. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he walked in that place of perfection. So whenever we're going through those seasons, and many people would wrestle, or you know, some people don't want to believe in a wilderness season, and that hasn't been my experience. But if you look in the Old Testament, God took the slaves, his people, out of Egypt, across the Nile River, into the wilderness. There is a wilderness for all of us, and in that wilderness is a place of you and God ultimately meeting face to face. That's what the wilderness really comes down to. I was thinking of this question earlier. Not that any, I mean, do you believe that you can know God like Moses knew him? Do you believe that? Not that you and I would be leading millions of people out of wherever, that I'm not looking at that. I'm just looking at his relationship with God. Do you believe that you could know God that way? Then if you believe that, what's the verse that I'm always throwing around here? If you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe. All you've got to do is begin believing. And then his word will come. And when his word comes in a dream or a vision or an angelic encounter or he himself, however he wants to bring his word to you, in that word is the faith, the trust, and the confidence for that word to sustain you and to bring that thing to pass. It has nothing to do with you and I, other than just to believe. So if you go back to the point that I was talking about, you know, the faith in, think about how much pressure that puts on you and I, that it's about you and I to do something. It's up to me. I've got to have enough faith. I've got to... The I thing needs to go to the cross. I need to go to the cross. I need to die. But don't stop at the cross. Realize that the whole progression of what Christ did is, okay, you're gonna suffer, you're gonna encounter the cross, but realize that you can go into the depths and you can get some keys and you can recover some stuff and you can ascend just as he ascended. Don't get stuck at the cross. Go through the whole process. Or do you even believe that that's possible? Because here again, it comes down, what do you believe? Because what you believe is is the reality that you're going to live in. That's the world that you're framing up with your mind, is what you believe. Okay? So let me finish a few more of these scriptures. So Philippians 3, verse 9. So here again, I've said this before. When you and I got saved, the only thing that we brought into this relationship with God is our will and our choice. That's the only thing we brought to the table, is a yes or a no, is a yielded heart or a hardened heart, which most of us probably had a hardened heart when we first came to him, and he's had to do some work on that. But the point is we didn't bring anything to the table other than our will and our choice. We've received everything that we've encountered and will encounter has come from him. And hopefully now you're beginning to see that even the faith or the confidence that you're walking in is because of his word that you've heard, right? That has given you the confidence to continue to walk and to live and to grow in your relationship with him. So Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Okay? So everything we've received is from him. Colossians 2:12. See, now this is a good one too. Buried with him in baptism. Okay, so you've already come off the cross. So you're buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So look at the whole process, because we can go through this process multiple times in our life. Self is going to get on the cross once again. There's another place of death that we're encountering. Oh, Lord, I'm dying again. It's going to happen more than once. If you keep walking this out, it's a deeper depth. It's a deeper place. And that place is full of self. That place is full of the fallen nature. And it has to die. Okay? And then I began to realize this a couple weeks ago. And what I'm seeing is, because of the truth that's being released in this place, of what's resonating in the spirit in this place, people can come in here and it's going to penetrate deeper than what they've ever known before. And that depth that's being penetrated is opening up, and that place has to die. Christ has to come in that place. The foundation of Christ has to be laid in that depth. Okay? So a deeper depth is being opened up. So Christ has to be established. Grace. All the foundations of Christ, the elementary things of Christ, have to come into that place and be established. Because that place is filled with something of darkness. Shame, fear, depression, anxiety, anger, murder, rage, whatever. It's got to go. Christ has to come in that place. So people can come in here, and just by sitting in here and hearing whatever they're hearing, a deeper depth will begin to open up in their life. And then hopefully they'll hang out long enough to figure out what's going on and let God do what he wants to do with them. You know, I mean, we're here to help, but you still got to do your part. So that was Colossians 2:12. So this is the last one. This Revelation 14. And probably here again, most of your modern day translations are going to say faith in Jesus or whatever they'll say. I didn't look at all of them to see what they're going to say. Here is the patience of the saints. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So begin to realize that you and I are learning how to walk in that place of relationship with the Father that Jesus walked in. That's what he's modeling for us among the bazillion other things that we can look at and glean from his life in the scripture. But ultimately it comes down to you and I, if we're going to live by the faith of, by his faith, then that faith is the relationship, the trust, and the confidence of knowing the Father. It has nothing to do with you praying more, with you reading more, memorizing more scriptures, with you whatever. It has nothing to do with you. If you think it has something to do with you, that thing needs to die. Because this is where you and I don't understand grace yet. It has nothing to do with you and I. It has everything to do with him and what he did for you and I. And then hopefully after tonight, you'll realize that even the faith that you've been walking and living in is not yours. But it's what you've received from him. And it's also what you've stewarded, you know. Because if we're faithful with the faith, with that faith that we've been given, like if, that's why it says, if you go back to Romans, let's go back there real quick in Romans 12. So it says, all right, so Romans 12:3, I read that earlier. So this is where it says, Jesus, God has dealt a measure of faith to all of us. Okay, and if we read on down, it says, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many as one body in Christ and every member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. All right, the grace that's given. Where'd I go? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So you're going to prophesy according to the grace that's been given to you and the faith that's been given to you. So if somebody's walking around being more prophetic than you, it's because they've got more, that God has graced them and given them faith to do it. But that doesn't mean that you can't come into it. You can contend for it. But God has put a faith and a grace on them to do that. So that's why you and I just need to discover what that is that God has put in us to do so that we can be the body. You know? So if you read, let's just finish reading because it's that's all it says. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. But the point in all of those different gifts that he's mentioning is they're all, the people are moving out of the proportion of faith that they were given to do those things. So it has nothing to do with this person went and got a seminary degree and he's got a certificate in this or that. It's because of grace and the faith that was given to him or her, this person, whatever that is. Okay? So let's just go ahead and tonight and deal with that flesh thing of putting faith, you know, putting that thing on you that it's about your faith and it's about, you know, whatever. That it's not about your faith. It's about the measure that you've received and just simply stewarding that measure, okay? Now, the other thing that I want to point out as I begin to wrap this up is in Mark 11:23. Yeah, well, 22. Mark 11:22. This is one of those theological debate scriptures. This scripture actually got Kenneth Hagin in a lot of trouble, because back in the day, Kenneth Hagin translated or paraphrased this verse. If you literally read it in the Greek, it says, "Have the faith of God." That's what it says in the Greek. You can literally read it, "Have the faith of God." But what does most of our Bible say? Have faith in God. But if you read the verse after that, is where it talks about moving the mountain and saying, if you say to this mountain, go in the sea, it's going to go in the sea. Well, I'm here to point out, it would take the faith of God to do that. It would. And the only other place that mentions the fullness of faith is in the love chapter, where Paul mentions it again. If I had the fullness of all faith to move mountains, I'd still be nothing without love. Okay? So the point here again is, and I'll go ahead, and the other cool connecting dot or scripture is in Ephesians. And I think it's a clue for us about this. It's in Ephesians 3. And this is the prayer that Paul prayed. I'll just start at verse 13. "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God." So that's the Corinthians 13, is ultimately seeing him face to face. Because when you see him face to face and you are known, you realize how you're known already. Let me read it. I don't want to. "For now we see through a glass darkly." You know, I really believe Paul was talking about the dark cloud there. You see darkly through a glass darkly, but then face to face. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." All right, I want to point out that nowhere in that phrase did he say that you have to die. He didn't say anywhere in there that right now you might be seeing through a glass dimly, but then you can see face to face. Well, we need to discover what that then is. Because that then is that suddenly or that moment where you are face to face with him. And it says, "Now I know in part because I'm seeing through a glass darkly," right? It's like, I don't know in the fullness yet because I'm still not seeing clearly. "Then shall I know, even as also I am known," because you're looking at the one in whose image you were made. All of this is about you knowing him. Faith is nothing more than your relationship of you. If you know him, there's a trust, there's a confidence. Here's the Hebrew picture. When I was praying a couple years ago, asking the Lord, "Father, what is faith?" Because faith was really bugging me. I just don't like the word. I don't like, because Virginia shared this before. A lot of what's happened is faith has become a method and a system to manipulate God with. Because you know all these scriptures, and now you're going to quote him back what he wrote and do all this manipulation prayer and twist his arm to get him to do something. So it's about us knowing him. Okay, so I had to remember where I was going. I got sidetracked. The Hebrew thing. When I was praying and I was asking the Father, when you go look at the word aman means steadfast, to support, firm. That word speaks of standing on a rock. That word speaks of standing on a rock that will not be moved. And so when you look in Matthew 7 about Jesus talking about those that hear my word and obey my word and build their house upon the rock, when the storm comes, the house is not going to be moved. Because of the word, right? They heard the word. They trusted the word. They put their confidence in that word. That's faith. They have a word to trust in. They're not making something up out of thin air, which is what a lot of us do from time to time. We'll just, because it sounds good, or it sounds Christian-y, or it sounds whatever it sounds. So even when, like I said, when you read this, there is a measure of faith to be received from reading this book. But I would still encourage you, whatever scripture it is that you're latching a hold of, is for you to wait upon the Lord with that thing and let Holy Spirit bring it right smack dab in front of you until that word just hit your heart. Now you have a word that will sustain you. Now you have a word that you can stand upon, whatever that thing is about, that when the enemy comes to challenge that word, when the enemy comes to try and rob you of that word, you got to hang on to that word, because that word is there to sustain you. That word is there to empower you, and it's all about the Father. It's all about him loving you. I mean, that's ultimately what this comes down to, is his love for you. The more that you realize his love for you, the more that you will realize who you are and who he is. I mean, it's that scripture that I just read in Corinthians 13. Right now I'm seeing dimly some stuff. I'm not seeing clearly everything. But when I see him face to face, I will know as I am already known. So here's, I think probably most of you are, I would guess most of you hear from the Lord. But what do you do when something of your life, a detail of your life, your finances, your health, your job decision, your daily life today, right now, is not in this book? Father, should I move here and take that job, or what do you want me to do? Because that's where I'm going with all of this, is that kind of relationship for all of us. You and I should be able to hear the Lord very clearly and for him to tell us, I want you to take that job, I want you to marry that person, I want blah, 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 blah. Because all of those words are not in this book. They're in the Spirit, and he wants to tell them to you. Face to face sometimes. Or just in the prayer closet, or in the secret place, wherever. It doesn't matter, as long as his word comes to you. But it should be coming to you. You should be hearing his word. Okay? I'll finish with this. The Exodus. So this is what the Father, this is ultimately the picture that he showed me. I'm like, Father, what is faith? What does faith mean in the Hebrew? What does it look like to a Hebrew? Because I want to know. And this was the picture that he gave me. 34. Here it is. It's in Exodus 33. And I want you to realize this has nothing to do with Moses other than the desire of his heart to see the glory of God. Right? That was the cry of Moses' heart. Father, if you want me to lead these people, I want to see your glory. The desire of his heart was to see the glory of the Father. It had nothing to do with him beyond that. Okay? And then the Lord said to him, in verse 21, now behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I can't read King James, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. The Lord said, come stand here, and when I pass by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. That is faith. That is God taking him and putting him in a firm, safe place. It had nothing to do with Moses picking up his stick or Moses doing anything other than, Moses, you come stand right here, and when I pass by, I'm going to put you there on that rock. And that is faith. That is faith. Okay, so I just want to, in closing, I want to just pray. And I want to, if you don't know the season that you're in with God, I want to come into agreement with you tonight that you will get a word for him to tell you what season you're in. You know, for you to know where you're at on your timeline, where what he's doing with you, and the season that you're in. There's no reason for you and I, for the last year and a half, have been through one of the most difficult, it's been a dying. It's been a death of self. But he has been faithful to give me a word to stand on. Like when I get all squirmy and that stuff's coming up and I'm uncomfortable and I'm doing that, oh Lord, what's wrong with me? What have I done? All that stuff. He's given me a word to stand on. He's spoken to me. He's showed me something. He's given me something for me to be at rest and to know this is the season that I'm in, and he's got me. And if you don't know that, I want to come into agreement with you that God will give you a dream, a vision, an angelic encounter. However his word comes to you, I'm not hung up on that. I'm hung up on his word not coming to you. And so, if you're in agreement with that, just stand with me. And then I just want to come into agreement that whatever his word is for you in the season that you're in, that you will know clearly the season that you're in, that you will be at peace and rest, and that you, in that word, you will begin to see yourself just as God picked Moses up and set him in the cleft of the rock, that you will see yourself being lifted up, set in that place of faith, of trust, of confidence, of strength. Okay? So, Father, tonight I just come into agreement, Father, with each and every person's petition and the desires of their heart, Father, for a word, Father, from you, Father, to confirm, Father, to reveal the season that they're in, Father, where they're at in their life with you, where they're at on the timeline with you. And Father, I just come into agreement tonight, Father, Lord, for that word to come. However you desire to send it, Father, but we agree tonight by faith. We agree tonight, Father, for your word to come, that we ask for your word. And if any of you have ever had, some people struggle with this. There's a fear of hearing God. You just need to repent of a fear of hearing his voice. You need to repent. If that's you, I just want you to simply repent before the Father and just say, Father, I repent tonight for being afraid to hear you. I repent tonight for not wanting to hear you because of fear. And Father, tonight I repent and I want to hear your voice. I want to receive and to know the word that you have for me concerning my life. And so it's that simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just recognize in those moments when there's something that you have to overcome that might be hindering you. So, Father, I just thank you for your word for each and every one. And, Father, I thank you for the trust, the confidence, and the faith that will be released in the days to come. Father, I thank you for each and every one of us realizing more and more how to live out of the faith of Jesus Christ, how to live out of that trust, how to live out of that place of relationship that he had with you, Father. I thank you for bringing us more and more step by step into that place of knowing that relationship, Father, of living in the reality of that perfect love, Father, of seeing you face to face, Father, no longer seeing things dimly, Father, no longer, Father, being unaware of you, Father, not knowing you, Father, but Lord, just knowing you more and more, Father. And so I bless the relationship of each and every person in this place tonight, Father. I bless their relationship with you, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit. And Father, I just thank you, Father, Lord, just for the heavens being opened in and around their life, Father, and for them to begin to perceive and to know and to hear your word, Father, and to obey and go ye therefore in it. And I just thank you, Father, for your word for them and just bless them. And I thank you for their destinies, for their mandates, for the giftings and anointings, Father. I thank you for the grace that you've already poured out on them. I thank you for the measure of faith that you've already given them to do the certain things that's in their heart to do. And Father, I just pray for the understanding of what was shared tonight to begin to come. And Father, to break that thing in the spirit, Father, that it's on them to muster up faith, that it's on them to produce something that's not for them to produce, but Father, it's for them to receive it. So I just admonish you tonight to recognize what you haven't received yet and to step out of that place of striving and trying to work up faith and doing all that stuff, to step back into that place in the spirit and great of grace and to receive the faith, the trust, and the confidence of what the Father has to you, for you and what he wants to release to you. And just to break that thing tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. And if that's you, that's just repent. Just repent of those moments where you've tried to muster up the faith. Repent where you've tried to just, it's all about you and you're trying to do something that is not for you to do, but it's for you to receive and to believe. To believe and to receive. To obey the word. Shema, Shema is hear and obey. Hear and obey the word of the Lord. Hear and obey the word of the Lord. So, Father, I just thank you tonight, Father, for your word being revealed in this place, Father. Lord, and for the good seed being sown and for the fruit of that seed, Father, for that seed to bear fruit, for there to be an abundant harvest in each and every one of our lives. And I just give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So be free. Be free. Be free.